Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see? Pick up the mirror now, America. Go ahead, pick it up. What are you, afraid? It's just a mirror, America. What could it do to you except reflect your image? The Majority Report.
Hi, folks. It's Sam Cedar. This is January 27th, 2011. I am on the road today, so we're going to have an abbreviated show. I have an interview that I did a day or two ago with Jane Hampshire from Fire Dog Lake about the Bradley Manning situation. Bradley Manning, of course, is the alleged leaker of intelligence information to WikiLeaks. And there's been some developments this week, some of which actually include Jane Hampshire. So enjoy this interview. And if I'm able to make this podcast a little bit larger than just this interview today, you will have already been aware of it because I would have put it on the front here. So we'll see. And otherwise, we'll have something for you on Friday as well, maybe also abbreviated. But in the meantime, enjoy this interview. And we'll be back live on Monday.
So I'm on the phone, on the Skype device with Jane Hampshire. She is the proprietor, founder of FireDogLake.com, which now is a compendium of over a half a dozen different blogs, including real-time news blogs, commentary, and Fire Dog Lake Action. And one of the issues that you've been heavily reporting on, Jane, and involved with, is dealing with the treatment of Bradley Manning, who is the former intelligence officer who is alleged to have leaked or been the whistleblower of U.S. government secrets ranging from the video in Iraq of the helicopter attacking people on the ground to the latest of diplomatic cables. And you have been covering his treatment. And there's been a lot of things that have happened in the past couple of days. So let's walk through them chronologically speaking. First, tell us what has been Bradley Manning's situation for the past over 6 months now.
Well, Bradley Manning has been held in the brig at Quantico, which is a Marine base. He actually is in the Army. And he has been under POI watch, Protection of Injury Watch, at the orders of the brig commander, Commander James Aberhart, over the objections of, over the recommendations of three psychiatrists of who have reviewed him. Protection of Injury POI watch is akin to solitary confinement. That is, you know, something that they do when they think someone is at risk of suicide. But the psychiatrists have said that Manning is not a risk of suicide and have recommended the suicide watch be lifted, that the POI order be lifted, because if you put somebody in solitary confinement-like conditions and they don't need to be there for their own safety, it can actually cause the symptoms you are trying to avert. So in spite of that, the brig commander has had him on there since August, and the military has consistently said that he is not in solitary confinement. What's being done is being done for his own good. Last
now,
week,
we should say at this point that he's not been charged with anything yet, has he?
Yes, he has been charged, but he has not been tried. He's being held pending trial.
Okay.
So anyway, and he has not been charged with actually leaking anything to WikiLeaks. He has been charged several counts of actually putting information on his own computer, downloading it from the government's computers, but none of the charges apparently relate to anything to do with WikiLeaks that we can tell. So, so they have been the Justice Department has been telling the New York Times that they were hoping to establish a link between Julian Assange and Manning so that they could charge Julian Assange with, inducing him to take these cables. And last night, Jim Migliszewski of NBC reported that the Pentagon is admitting that they have not been able to establish a link between Assange and Manning.
Now, this is important because there has been a lot of talk since WikiLeaks has essentially published these with other media entities around the world, that media leaks that they wanted to try Julian Assange and WikiLeaks under the Espionage Act. But it requires an actual either cajoling of someone to give these secrets or a physical handoff of some sort. And this is something they've been trying to establish, mm-hmm. and they found it impossible. And like you said earlier this week, NBC reported that the government has essentially given up the ghost in terms of trying to prove that. And that's a very stunning admission for them, because without that, there doesn't seem to be any grounds in which one could prosecute WikiLeaks without having to haul in the Guardian newspaper in Great Britain or the Times or whatever, correct?
Absolutely. Although I was on MSNBC just moments ago with Jim Megleshevsky, who says that they haven't given up trying to pursue a link between Assange and Manning, that they would continue to investigate it. But the admission last night was that despite all their best efforts, they have not been able to establish a link.
Now, some people have speculated that part of the reason why Manning has been treated in this way is because they are attempting to get him to confess to having this type of relationship with Julian Assange. And this brings us to this other story that happened earlier this week where you, well, why don't you please tell us about you're going down to Quantico with David House. Who is David House and what happened?
It's never good when you become the story, but that sort of happened this weekend. My association with the whole, with the defense has basically been allowing David House to stay at my house when he comes to town to visit Bradley Manning. David House is a student from the Boston area, former student who just graduated, 23 years old. He and other people who were, friends, not good friends, but they knew Manning, before he went to Iraq, had come together to form the Bradley Manning Defense Network upon his arrest and raise money for his defense. And they have been investigated by Army Counterintelligence, by the FBI, by Homeland Security. David has been detained at the airport. His computer was seized, all because he goes to visit Bradley Manning. And David is the only person who is left who goes to visit Manning. And he's, 23 years old and just out of college. He's not rich. So Glenn Greenwald helpfully offered my house for him to stay at when he came down to visit Manning.
Because now we should say Manning is in Quantico. You live in that area, and so you've got this kid who is now, and this is important because we're talking about Bradley Manning trying to maintain some semblance of sanity under conditions which many psychologists have said publicly that this is equivalent to torture. This type of deprivation that he's been undergoing in terms of like social contact, in terms of just contact with air, with the ability to exercise. And so David House is the only person who remains to be visiting him because of what could be characterized as harassment by the U.S. government.
Right. So David had been going down to visit him, and I had been driving him down. And I didn't expect, actually, that they would let me on the base because I wasn't on the visitor list. And I expected that I would give David my car or, drop him off someplace and he could walk. Whatever they told us to do, we would do. But we got down there and they were very nice. They said, here's where the brig is. Drive him there. Drop him off. I did. There was a waiting room there. I said, can I wait there? They go, no, you should go stay at the McDonald's on the base. And at 3:00, come back, pick him up and leave. And so that's what we did every time. But this last weekend when we went down, we got
now,
there.
How many times have you been down there with him before?
I think I've been around two or three times, something like that, previously. But this time we got down there and the minute we got there, they made us sign documents saying that we would not video or audio tape anything we did. And I'm like, okay, this is new. And then they told us that I said, why are you doing this? All of this? Because they started asking us for our social security numbers. I said, well, I'd rather just leave and let David go to the brig than, be interrogated here. And they said, well, if I didn't give it to them, I would be arrested. And I said, well, why are you doing this? And they said, well, we had orders to. So clearly someone knew they'd ordered them to, give us the once over and made us sign documents saying we wouldn't record it. So I started tweeting it and didn't really think, that much of it. I was just sort of doing it for my own recollection of what happened on a kind of moment by moment basis. So they took my driver's license and started asking me what my address was. And I said, well, it's on my driver's license. And they said, no, you need to tell us what it is. And then they asked for registration and proof of insurance. And my proof of insurance was a PDF, digital. I have Progressive Insurance, and they allow you to download it from the site. And I had it on my computer. And they said, no, it had to be a paper copy. So I said, well, you know, I can see a 7-Eleven from here. Can I walk off and see if they'll print it for me? And they said, no, you can't. We have to tow it the 10 feet onto the base, because that's where they only have the authority, that we asked you to drive on. So they called the tow truck, and they wouldn't let us leave, and they wouldn't let us leave. Every time we asked to leave, they said, you can't. They asked us for something else. They would come back and ask for our driver's licenses again, for our Social Security numbers again. At a certain point, all of these, sort of official, high-ranking people came into the guard gate, and it was, there were probably, I would say, 7 people or so who were there. They actually gave David House a summons to appear in court. Not me, my car, my insurance. They gave the summons to David House, not a ticket. They were out there to harass him maximum. And at 2:50, 10 minutes before 3 o'clock when the brig visiting hours are over, they suddenly, after 40 minutes of just making us sit there with a car and a tow truck, let us go. And they usually would – the first they said David couldn't see Bradley. And then they changed their minds and said, well, he could go see him, but he couldn't walk as he otherwise could have done. He had to come back on in a cab and do it. But they wouldn't let him go catch a cab. So 2 hours into it, they finally let us off, and there was no way that he could get back in time. And it was clear that they just wanted to keep him from seeing Bradley. And now it's pretty apparent, had he gone and talked to Bradley, Bradley would have told him that he was put on suicide watch by the brig commander, not because he was a suicide risk, but as a punitive measure because he did not obey an order, apparently.
Now, okay, so that's essentially the next part of the story. So they clearly were working, I mean, you know, the idea that somehow they need to see your the validation of your car's insurance seems to be a little bit sketchy. And clearly what they were trying to do was just run out the clock so that you couldn't see it. And so this issue of suicide watch, now this is important because what is involved with putting someone on a suicide watch? What are the procedures that are normally necessary to put someone on suicide watch? And what are the implications of being on suicide watch?
Well, I am not an expert in this field, clearly, but Dr. Jeffrey Kay, who writes for us, who has done a lot of the very important work. He works with torture victims and has done a lot of the reporting and work investigating what has gone on in Guantanamo Bay with detainees there. He has explained that prevention of injury watch is akin to solitary confinement, and it allowed them to put Manning in solitary confinement without actually acknowledging that they were doing so. The spokespeople would say, no, 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 we're just doing this for his own good. He is confined in his cell for 23 hours a day. He's only allowed out 1 hour into a small room where he walks in circle eights with chains on as exercise. He is forced to sleep in his, he sleeps in his underwear. He can't have a pillow or a blanket. Amount of time that he can read, is limited during the day. His interactions, with other prisoners are he's not allowed to have, interactions with other prisoners, I believe. So it is solitary confinement, by another name. When they put him on suicide watch, that actually escalated things such that he had to be stripped down to his underwear 24 hours a day. He was not allowed out of his cell 24 hours a day. Guards had to check him, watched him constantly, and had to check him on him every 5 minutes to see if he was all right. They could wake him up in the middle of the night to check on him. His glasses were taken away so he couldn't see except for, short periods of the day. And clearly it was intended to intensify the isolation and the feelings of being helpless in the situation, and keeping David from seeing him was a further escalation of that.
So are there specific, because clearly Bradley Manning is not a physical threat to other prisoners. He's there's been no indication that he would be a physical threat to the guards there. Are there specific requirements, procedural requirements? Is there a specific bar that must be met to put someone in isolation? In other words, they wanted to put him in isolation. Was it a situation where they couldn't justify it in terms of their own procedures unless they labeled him as someone who could potentially hurt himself.
Well, look at it this way. There have been three psychiatrists who have evaluated Bradley Manning, and they were Briggs psychiatrists, and they've all said that he is not on a suicide risk. And they have recommended the lifting of the POI watch consistently. So keeping him on POI watch was a way to keep him in solitary confinement and yet still be saying that they weren't keeping him in solitary confinement. The fact that the brig commander abused Bradley Manning's medical condition in order to, put an admittedly now punitive punishment of solitary confinement, extreme solitary confinement on him, is a violation of his authority and abuse of his authority, and the military have now admitted this.
Okay, yeah, let's get to this part of the story because there's actually a procedure to put someone on this type of watch. You need medical personnel to declare someone essentially a physical self-harm status. Is that right?
Well, that's what they're saying. And I'm not a good spokesperson for this because I don't know military code this well, but they are now saying that Everhart did not have the authority to put him on suicide watch, that only the psychiatrist could do that. But they're still allowing him to put Bradley Manning on POI watch over the objections of the psychiatrist. So I'm not sure where the inconsistency comes. Why is he allowed to do one over the objections of the psychiatrist and not the other?
Oh, I see. So these are two different things. Suicide watch.
POI watch and suicide watch are two different things. Yes.
Okay. And so because I'm going with Mikhail
Shaftis.
Thank you. He reported, I guess it was on Monday, that This military official said Brig Commander James Everhart did not have the authority to place Manning on suicide watch for 2 days last week, and that only medical personnel are allowed to make that call. But he has been under this POI watch for the entire period of time.
I think when he first got there, they just observed him on POI watch. And on August 27th, the psychiatrist said, we don't think he's a risk, so you can lift it. And the Brig Commander did not do it. And since that time, two other psychiatrists have said he is not at risk. And the Brig Commander has refused to do that. In fact, he intensified it by putting him on suicide watch, saying that he was a suicide risk and putting him on suicide watch last week for 2 days, as we now know, as a punishment, not because he actually was at risk. I believe that for 1 week during December, they actually were concerned about him a little bit. So they recommended POI, but he was already on POI. So then they recommended, after a week, they recommended he'd be taken off, and he never was.
And can his attorney, does his attorney have any ability to change the status? I mean, can he get a hearing to take him off this POI watch?
Well, last week, his attorney, David Coombs, filed a complaint, an Article 138 complaint, alleging that the Brig Commander had abused his authority in putting him on suicide watch. And so he then contacted the Army, and the Army lawyers got involved. And they requested that once they found out what had happened, they requested that the POI watch, that the suicide watch be lifted, and it was. So he went back to being on POI. But it seems pretty likely that they did not want David House to go there this weekend and talk to Bradley Manning and find out, because Bradley would have told David the truth, and David would have come out and told me, and I would have told Glenn, and David would have gone on MSNBC, and then, the world would have known that this had been abused in this way. So, it sort of cleared up a lot of mysteries about why did this happen last weekend.
So what is next? I mean, what are the next steps? What does Manning's attorney, does he have a sense of a timetable? I mean, at one point, they're going to have to bring him to trial under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, right?
It's my understanding that David Coombs has actually asked for them to, get on with the show, and that the military has asked for and received yet another extension of time in order to file, in order to investigate. And if Jim Miloszewski is reporting is true, and I assume it is, they are still investigating, trying to prove a link between Julian Assange and Bradley Manning. So before bringing him to trial. So we'll see what happens. But the interesting thing is that CNN is reporting today that the military are actually investigating James Everhart and his role in abusing Bradley Manning's military status in order to punish him over the objections of medical personnel. So that never happens. So that's kind of remarkable.
And do you think that, I mean, maybe I'm being a little cynical, but I mean, why do the words Lindy English pop into my head when I think about the, you know, the, so it's just one bad apple, essentially, that is putting Bradley Manning through this, right? It's not the, the entire military apparatus.
Well, I, you know, that is hard to say. I have no idea. I do find it extremely suspicious that he has been isolated so severely at a time when the New York Times was reporting that the Justice Department was trying to get a confession out of him that he did somehow have an association with Julian Assange. And apparently now we know they were unable to do that. They wanted to get him to flip and, you know, have some sort of deal, and apparently Manning refused. So the fact that they were putting him in solitary, confinement conditions by, abusing his medical status in order to, you know, have plausible deniability as to why they were doing so really calls into question, why they are doing this, for how long they are doing this, and could this have happened with, nobody looking at it. And the fact that it's still in effect today, even after they've listened to Suicide Watch.
Well, Jane Hampshire, FiredogLake.com, thanks so much. We will continue to visit your site to get more updates.
Thanks so much, Sam.